This morning, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer urged his colleagues to pass President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus recovery bill before extended benefits for financially struggling people expire in just over a week.
Let's face it. We need to get this done. It would be so much better if we could in a bipartisan way, but we need to get it done.
Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us to talk about that, and also the first on-camera interview from one of the women accusing New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment. Let's bring in Sahil Kapoor, who is a national political reporter for NBC News. Hi, Sahil.
Great to join you.
And Domenico Montanaro is senior political editor and correspondent for NPR. Hey, Domenico.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes. So let's start with the Senate and the coronavirus relief bill. Democrats have made some changes to trying to bring Republicans on board, like setting these limits on who will receive direct checks. And today there's this deal on extending unemployment benefits. Sahil, what's the latest here?
Let's start with today. Moderate and progressive Democrats cut a deal to reduce the federal unemployment benefits from $400 a week to $300 a week. They also, as part of this deal, decided to extend them by 1 month from August to September. And there's a key reason for that. Congress is usually out of session in August. And some Democrats were afraid of having a so-called benefit cliff in that month that lawmakers were unlikely to come back and address. This will disappoint some progressives who wanted the higher level of $400. But another key component here is that it makes the first $10,200 of jobless benefits tax-free, which is a change from previous components. The other change that they made yesterday was to the $1,400 stimulus payments. They are limiting eligibility, in other words, who can get that money. Incomes between $80,000 and $100,000 will no longer get any money. And couples who make between $160,000 and $200,000 will not get any money as they did last time.
Okay. Domenico, I want to bring you in here. Do you think these changes will get Republicans on board with this bill?
Not necessarily. I think that this shows just how tight the Senate is in general. I mean, we have a 50-50 Senate, and you know, the whole reason why Democrats are going with this approach is because they can't get past the filibuster threshold that you would need for 60 votes. But there hasn't been any indication so far that many, if any, Republicans will be on board with this. Mm-hmm. A lot of this, frankly, is to keep moderate Democrats on board, like Joe Manchin from West Virginia and Kristen Sinema from Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going on in Washington. But across the country, gentlemen, this week, we also saw some Republican governors deciding to keep coronavirus restrictions and mask mandates in place while others were lifting them. And President Biden had some harsh words for those who rolled back the restrictions.
And the last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it.
So, Sahil, how'd that go over?
Not well with Republicans, as you can imagine. There has been quite a bit of pushback. There have been conservative media outlets really focusing on that word that President Biden used and trying to create it into trying to turn it into a bigger scandal by getting people riled up about it. The White House and allies of President Biden are standing by their sharp criticism of Republican governors who are essentially lifting these restrictions even while the pandemic is still raging and still claiming lives every day. So another one of those kind of partisan culture clashes over a matter that ultimately is an issue of consensus among the scientists.
Hmm. Domenico, what's the bottom line here? I mean, will the elections in 22 and 24 be won and lost on the coronavirus?
Well, certainly this is going to be a key issue for Joe Biden and the Democrats as they move forward. I mean, this next year and how President Biden deals with coronavirus, and that means vaccine distribution and getting the economy back up and running quickly enough, being able to get loans out to small businesses, how much better people feel in a year, year and a half. As we're looking at that timetable, think about we'll be heading into the midterms. And traditionally, in the first midterm of a president's first term, the party in power does not do very well. So, this is important for Democrats to show that they are able to give help to people, that they can manage this rollout well, especially after a year of criticizing the prior administration for its chaotic handling of the coronavirus pandemic.
OK, let's talk about another big story going on today. One of the women accusing New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment has given her first TV interview, Charlotte Bennett told CBS's Nora O'Donnell that Cuomo propositioned her last year while she worked with him. Let's listen.
The pandemic was obviously stressful for all of us, and he was on TV nearly every day talking about it.
Make that gown look good.
So you think all this national attention may have emboldened him?
Absolutely. I think he felt like he was untouchable in a lot of ways.
Cuomo apologized this week, saying he was sorry if he made anyone feel uncomfortable. He's now under investigation. But Sahil, pulling back a little bit, these revelations are big news because last spring Cuomo really endeared himself in the hearts and minds of many Americans as this leader stepping up at a time when we desperately needed it. What are some of the bigger lessons here?
It's an extraordinarily sharp fall from grace for Governor Cuomo, who's now facing allegations from three women of inappropriate conduct. At least one of them has said she does not accept his apology and that his press conference when he, or rather his press statement, was filled with inaccuracies. There are already some prominent New York Democrats calling on him to resign, including Congresswoman Kathleen Rice, who represents the New York City area. So between that and the fact that Cuomo is also under fire for having allegedly rewritten the nursing home report to hide a higher death toll, that's according to the New York Times, suggests some very rough days ahead for Andrew Cuomo.
Right. I mean, is that what we're all following? Is do you think that in some way he will have to make a decision about his role as governor?
That is the biggest question that everyone is asking right now. So far, it doesn't appear that the governor is ready to heed those calls to step down. It appears that he's going to try to fight through it. But it's certainly possible that events could overcome him. And that's the question that people are remaining to see. Mm-hmm.
So that investigation into Cuomo continues. And we also have an ongoing investigation into the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. And this morning, California Democrat Eric Swalwell sued former President Trump for damages related to that event. And we've just wrapped up 2 weeks of hearings about what happened. More are on the way. Domenico, what have we learned so far?
Well, there's been a lot of pretty big pieces of this. In particular, the head of the D.C. National Guard saying didn't understand why it took 3 hours for the Pentagon to approve the request to put in National Guard troops. He said he would have done it immediately. He seemed pretty passionate about that. So I think there's still a lot of questions to be asked about the chain of command at the Pentagon. Who knew what, when, why were those things not, why did that request not get through? What did the White House know? There's still a lot there. Now, Democrats in the House have their own investigation that they were hoping would be bipartisan with General Honoré, who had gained fame in New Orleans after Katrina for his management there, but because of some of his sharp tweets about some of the senators, Hawley and Cruz, and their role in after this and before January 6th, they're trying to dismiss him and put him to the side and say, oh, he's just partisan. Well, whatever is going to come out of that is also going to play a piece of what gets determined going forward. And there's a fight going on about how seriously Republicans are taking this and whether they just want to move on from it.
Before we let both of you go, President Biden hasn't held a solo news conference yet. Most of his predecessors had by this point in their administrations. I mean, this question is for both of you. Does that matter? And I'll start with you, Domenico. Does it matter? And what questions would you pose to him?
Well, it always matters if a president of the United States is going to be transparent and answer reporters' questions. So, of course, the White House press corps and the rest of us are going to want to hear from the president about what's happening, what this rollout is going to be. We've seen and heard from him on different occasions. Of course, it'd always be great to have more time to be able to probe and see how much more deeply this goes, especially on something like school reopenings. Is it really possible when you talk to teachers and to school administrators to have 5 days a week of school full time in most places, given the size problems at school? Just the distancing makes it very difficult to do that. Did he really mean something like 2 or 3 days a week with hybrid, or does he really mean five and think it's totally safe?
Sahil, with the 30 seconds we have, what about you?
Well, President Biden certainly has a different strategy than his predecessor in that he's promised not to be ubiquitous the way Donald Trump was. But certainly that cannot and should not mean hiding from press conferences entirely. He will continue to face pressure to do one. And the question I'd ask him is what he plans to do about his agenda when everything gets bottled up in the Senate due to the filibuster after the COVID relief bill.
Sahil Kapoor is a national political reporter for NBC News, and Domenico Montanaro is a senior political editor and correspondent for NPR. Thank you both.
You're welcome.
Thank you.